Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. In fact, this is episode 300, which is pretty exciting. Well over a year and a half ago, we entered into our first lockdown here in New Zealand, and that's what led me to start the daily devotions, they were called back then. The idea was just during the lockdown to do these. Of course, I finished the first lockdown and people said, carry on doing them. So here we are, 300 episodes later. We've been through Lamentations, James, all the way through to Revelation. Then we've done all of Matthew, and now we find ourselves in Romans chapter 8. And looking at that glorious section, which is so familiar to all of us, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. But before we read that, let's come before our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you for another day. We thank you for life itself, that we still breathe and our heart still beats in accordance with your sovereign purposes. We thank you, Lord, for 300 episodes of this devotion and the many different passages that we've seen and understood, and the way that you have faithfully, day in and day out, taken your word and pressed it into our hearts. What a privilege it is, Father, to know you. What a joy it is to have your word and to be able to see you there, to be able to meditate upon the glory of Christ, to have your Holy Spirit working within us to bring good from it. And so we pray once more for the 300th time, would you take this word and press it into our hearts with power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, yesterday we looked at Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we talked about the reality of life, suffering, and the way that God turns everything and uses everything and works in everything to bring about good, to bring about good for us, for those who love him, and for those who are called according to his purposes. And we remember that these words are set in the context of suffering. In fact, all of it flows out of verse 17, where it says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And then in verse 18, he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And one of the things that we've commented over and over again is that suffering is part of the Christian life. Whether it's physical suffering and groaning under the effects of the fall, whether it's putting sin to death, or whether it's suffering for the name of Christ under persecution, it is the path that we all must walk on in order to get to glory. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. But there's a temptation, isn't there, that flows out of Romans 8, verse 28, that says all things work together for our good. There's a temptation to buck under that, you know, like a bull bucking under its rider, or a horse bucking under its rider. There's a temptation for us to buck under the cross. When Jesus says, take up your cross, there's a large part of us which wants to say, no, I don't want to take up a cross. I want to go to glory on a bed of rose petals. I don't want the thorns, just the rose petals, thank you. And it reminds me of a pastor I worked for. I was an assistant to a lay pastor for a couple of years in a little town called Narrawohia. And there was a wonderful lay pastor there called David, who would often say to the people there, the gospel is 5 points, and he would work through the gospel from there being a God to the fall, etc., etc. And his last point was always the Christian life is not a bed of rose petals. And it's because we recognize that part of being a Christian includes great suffering. But we're tempted to come to God and complain and murmur and say, I don't want that. And Paul knows that. So having said that everything, all of our sufferings, work together for our good, he now wants to really drive that home. He wants to really press into our hearts and minds the idea, or rather, should I say, the truth, that suffering is a great evidence that God's purposes are working out in our life. And he says in verse 30, an incredibly profound thing. The words in verse 30, although you could just take them and say this is a wonderful view of salvation, though that's true, it's far more profound than that, because it's a God-centered, Christ-exalting view of suffering in the purposes of God. And so in order to show that our being conformed to the image of Christ through suffering is all part of the plan of God to bring about his purposes, he says that God is doing five things. That we are suffering, it's part of his plans, through five things. Firstly, according to his foreknowledge, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew. Now, foreknowledge, don't think of knowing beforehand. I know the word's maybe not helpful, but it's not God just in his mind knew ahead of time that there would be people, that there would be Christians who would suffer. It's not that he looks into the future and he sees Logan suffering and says, I knew beforehand you would suffer. But the foreknowledge is the idea of knowing with the sense of intentionally planning. In other words, he knew me beforehand. He didn't know of me beforehand, but he knew me beforehand. But not only did he have foreknowledge, but our suffering was part of his foreknowledge and his predestination. So in verse 30, he says it in 29 as well, but he says in verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he said in 29, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. What does it mean to predestine something? It means to think about the word your destiny. It means to plan out your destiny. We use the word destiny in the Western world to talk about sort of the thing that can't be changed, that's happening. It's your destiny for this to happen. Predestination is God setting up your destiny beforehand. He predetermined it. So God, knowing beforehand, predestined it to work out this way. But not only did he predestine it, verse 30, those whom he predestined, he also called. So not only did he plan it out, not only did he know it beforehand and plan it out, but he knew it, he predestined it, and he called us to it. We are not suffering outside of the control of God. We are not walking this arduous path outside of God's control and will. But it's part of his plan for us, because those whom he called, he also justified. You see, this suffering, this taking up our cross, is part of the journey of the justification that we receive. In fact, it's one of the glorious marks of it. It's one of the reasons that we know that we are justified, because we put sin to death and suffer, because we're persecuted for the name of Christ. And so we see in our suffering a glorious evidence to the truth of the fact that we have been made righteous in him. But Paul doesn't just go to the past and to the present. He looks to the future and he says, those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's as good as done. All of these things are set in the past, not because they were pastime activities, but rather because they're as sure as done. There's no doubt as to our glorification. There will come a day when we will be glorified before Christ. Glorified in Christ we are now. But there will be a day when that will be finally finished. And we will be made perfect in him. And the pathway which takes us on that journey is suffering. This is why Paul says, all the way back in 17, as we saw, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. You see, there is no glorification for the saint without suffering in Christ. It's not that our suffering justifies us. It's not that our suffering calls us. It's not that our suffering predestines us, nor that our suffering foreknows us, nor that our suffering glorifies us. But it is the pathway, it is the channel by which all of these things are worked out by God. And so, Paul exhorts us not to murmur and complain, nor to chafe under the cross of Christ, but to bear it well, so that we can say with the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." You see, Paul could look at his sufferings and know that they're working a purpose and rejoice in that. And so can you and I. John Calvin says it really beautifully. He says, "What Paul then means by this gradation is that the afflictions of the faithful, by which they are now humbled, are intended for this end, that the faithful, having obtained the glory of the celestial kingdom, may reach the glory of Christ's resurrection, with whom they are now crucified." Let me say that last part again. "That the faithful, having obtained the glory of the celestial kingdom, may reach the glory of Christ's resurrection, with whom they are now crucified." And there's a fantastic, fantastic example of this that comes out in Pilgrim's Progress. I've been rereading it in my spare time at the present. And there's a moment when Faithful and Christian are traveling, and they're just about to come to the Vanity Fair. And the evangelist comes and meets them, and the evangelist says to them, in a nutshell, "You are going to suffer in that city, and one of you," he doesn't say it, but paraphrasing, "one of you is going to die and one of you won't. The one who dies gets the easier journey, because he goes straight to glory. But the other one is going to meet with far more persecutions and sufferings." And so you see, what Bunyan, who's sitting in prison writing this with a wife and children at home, what John Bunyan is pointing out is the exact same thing Paul is pointing out, that suffering is the means that God uses to bring his saints home. My dear viewer, my dear listener, don't chafe under the cross of Christ. To cast off the cross of Christ is to cast off Christ himself. And we have been given the cross with all of the glorious benefits with it as a vehicle to take us to glory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the glorification that awaits us. We thank you that it is as good as done, and we ask that you'd help us not to chafe under our sufferings, under our sorrows, but to rejoice in filling up the sufferings of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for episode 300. What a lovely milestone. May we get to 500 one day too. Have a most blessed weekend.